In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellow redeemed, the events of that Thursday night and Friday day wouldn't come as a surprise to Jesus. In fact, three times prior to this night, Jesus had foretold that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and on the third day, raised. While Jesus knew all that awaited him, he also knew the danger that awaited his disciples. It was the danger of falling away from the one true faith. And sadly, one of the 12 would fall away permanently. As Jesus knew all that would happen, he prepared his disciples to survive the intense battle that lay before them. It was the battle against three powerful enemies: Satan, the world, the sinful flesh. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the power of darkness was at work. In fact, prior to the Passover meal, Satan had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. And yet Judas wasn't the only one taken captive by Satan that night. While at dinner, Jesus spoke to Simon Peter. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith may not fail." On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took his disciples out into the garden to pray. Knowing that human flesh is sinful and weak, Jesus encouraged them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And yet, three different times, Jesus found his disciples asleep. Entering into temptation, they couldn't keep their eyes open to watch and pray. While the spirit is indeed willing, the flesh is weak. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus warned his disciples that the world would attack them. "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you," Jesus said. As Jesus had predicted the attacks from the world, they happened that very night. As a band of soldiers, officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees came with lanterns and torches and weapons, as they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him, the disciples left him and fled in fear for their lives. Peter continued to be tormented by the world that night. Out of fear of death, Peter denied Jesus three times. When the rooster crowed, reminded Peter of Jesus' words, Peter ran away and wept bitterly. Ultimately, having been attacked by the devil, the flesh, and the world, each of Jesus' disciples gave into temptation and fell into sin. Now, you've heard these accounts before. And as a result, there is a temptation for us to be very critical of the disciples. We're tempted to believe that we wouldn't deny Jesus, or we wouldn't flee from him and his life-giving word. Yet, are you any better than the disciples? Men who actually walked with Jesus? Are you stronger than they? Are you somehow free from Satan's lying and his deceiving and his desire to destroy your faith? Have you conquered your sinful flesh? Have you escaped from the world, away from those who hate Christ and hate his church? All by means, no. As disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, we're constantly under attack by Satan, the world, and the sinful flesh, just like the 12 disciples were. Why do you think it is that St. Peter would go on from this night and write those words, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Why do you think St. Paul would go on to write, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Why do you think it is that St. John would go on to write from this night, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with all of its desires." The enemies of Satan in the flesh and the world, which battle against the disciples, battle against you today and will continue to do so until God calls you from this veil of tears. They battle against you to deceive you, to mislead you into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice, as a small catechism says. They battle against you to lead you to eternal death. And yet, Jesus knew the danger that awaited his disciples. And it's why he didn't leave them defenseless. He not only warned them of what was to come, he not only prayed for their deliverance, he not only comforted them with the promise that he would rise from the dead, rescuing them from Satan and the sinful flesh in the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This meal wasn't simply a memorial meal or an object lesson. Jesus gave them his very body. He gave them his very blood under the bread and the wine to eat and to drink. Satan would attack them, so he gave them his very body that would crush Satan under his feet. The world hated them, so he gave them the body and the blood that overcomes the world. Their flesh was weak, so he gave them the flesh that overcomes the grave, having all sin and guilt purged from it with his blood. This meal is the medicine that strengthened them to endure that most dangerous and hellish night. Fellow redeemed, and this is the same meal that Jesus feeds you tonight. And not only this night, but as our Lutheran confessions say, we are to religiously keep it and defend it, to celebrate it every Lord's Day. Why should we celebrate the sacrament every Lord's Day, that is, every Sunday? Because of its great benefit, which you desperately need. In this meal, Jesus gives you his very body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Where there's the forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. Where there's the forgiveness of sins, there's the strengthening of your faith. Where there's the forgiveness of sins, there's an increase in love. Where there's the forgiveness of sins, there's victory over Satan and the world and your sinful flesh. To those of you who don't think you need this blessed meal often, consider what Martin Luther writes in the Small Catechism, and we heard this a couple weeks ago. First, that individual should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. We all have flesh and blood, don't we? Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble. And there certainly is, isn't there? Third, he will certainly have the devil around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without. You're still in the flesh. You're still in the world. You still have the devil around you. Do you see how much you need this blessed meal? Jesus gives you his very body and blood, the very body and blood that will be nailed to the cross and shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. He gives you the meal to eat and to drink. As Satan attacks you, Jesus gives you the body that crushes Satan under his feet. As the world hates you, Jesus gives you the body and blood that overcomes the world through the tree of the cross. As your flesh is weak, Jesus gives you the flesh that overcomes the grave, having all sin and guilt purged from it with his blood. Well, redeemed on that night when he was betrayed, Jesus instituted a blessed meal to sustain his church against her greatest enemies. It's the fruit of the cross. So come, eat of our Lord's body. Come and drink of our Lord's blood. Do this often. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus gives it to you freely. And in this meal, Jesus not only promises forgiveness for the times you failed, fallen victim to the devil, where you've joined with the world and obeyed the sinful desires of the flesh. He promises to strengthen you in the midst of this battle. He promises to preserve you in body and soul until he calls you to himself, delivering you from every evil. God be praised. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.